Let's turn in our Bibles tonight, please, to the Old Testament and to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel and to the third chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 3. And we're breaking into the chapter at verse number 22. 2 Samuel 3. And we're breaking in at verse number 22. Second Samuel 3, verse number 22. Let us hear the word of God. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them, but Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he have sent him away, and he is gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest, Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Syrah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever, from the blood of Abner the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab, and in all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that have an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai his brother slew Abner, because he had slain their brother, Asahel, at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, Rend your clothes, and gird you with sackcloth, and mourn because of Abner. And King David himself followed the pyre, and they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David sware, saying, So do God to me and more also, if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Amen. We will end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart for his name's sake. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer. And at this moment, again in the meeting, let all who know and love the Savior, let's just pray together here. We need the help of the Lord. We need his power. We need his grace. And let's every one of us join together now and seek him. There are people in this meeting without Christ. Tonight we deal with a most solemn subject. The death of Abner. And therefore, realizing that we are all mortal, realizing that we will all die if the Lord tarries, therefore let us come now before him and seek his face now for a moment and call upon his great name. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merits of his redeeming blood, we approach the throne of grace and of mercy. And we thank thee for the blood of Christ that brings us nigh to God. We bless thee for a throne of grace. We thank thee for a throne where we can receive mercy. And, O God, we're fully aware in our own souls that there is never a time in our lives' experience when we do not need grace, when we don't need mercy. And therefore, O God, we cast ourselves before thee. And, Lord, we cry to thee that thou would now more and more take control of this gathering. Lord, here we are, traveling on toward eternity. Soon this meeting will be gone. Soon, Lord, if the Lord tarries, our time on earth will end. And, O God, we cry that this meeting will prepare men and women and young people for God's everlasting eternity. Empty me completely of self and from my sin. Wash me now in the blood of Christ. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant that divine baptism. Grant that holy anointing. O God, we echo the words of John the Baptist of old. I have need to be baptized of thee. Grant that heavenly baptism. Close us in with God. Dispel and defeat the plans of the devil. And set souls in this meeting gloriously free by your grace. For we pray it all in Jesus' name. And we plead it all upon the merits of Christ's redeeming blood. Amen. In the world in which we live, a funeral is something that is a regular and daily event. I suppose I address you as a people, most of whom have attended one of these events. A funeral is the evidence that there is a real man or woman or young person, and we won't be seeing them again. Their end has come. God has given them life. The funeral is the evidence that God has taken it away. The body is lifeless. It has been prepared by the undertaker, laid into a coffin. It is, or it may not be, left in what is known as a restroom, or a funeral parlor, or the family home. To that place, or to that home, people will come. They will mourn the passing. They will sympathize with the family and sympathize with those that are in great sorrow. A few days later, the coffin will be carried from the home and laid to rest in the burying plot. This has happened in our world since the days of Abel. Death is my end. Death is the end of our life. Death is the end of the enjoyments of life. To the wicked, it's the end of all their joys and pleasure. To the godly, it's the end of all griefs. And let me tell you, dear people, in this meeting, death will happen until Christ returns from heaven with his angel train. We are all dying. The moment you come into this world, you begin to go out of it. And I want to speak tonight on this man, Abner, that we have read about, a soldier in Israel. And I want to speak on the day that Abner went out of this world. The name Abner, it means father of light. Abner was actually the cousin of King Saul. He was a soldier, a man of war, a man, I must say, of some renown in Israel. See, let me give you the setting here in 2 Samuel 3. There was a war between the house of Saul and the house of David. At this juncture in the history of the nation, the house of Saul is getting weaker and weaker, and the house of David is getting stronger and stronger. Now, both Saul and Jonathan have been slain by the Philistines at this juncture, but still Saul's followers fight on. And verse 6 of this very chapter tells us that Abner had made himself strong for the house of Saul. But within the ranks of Saul's family, comes an accusation against Abner, a false accusation, an accusation that makes Abner so furious that he immediately switches allegiance. He leaves Saul's camp and he goes over to David's camp. He leaves Saul's camp and fighting for Saul and he goes immediately to David. In chapter 3 that we have read, it tells us that Abner comes to David, the one up until this moment that he has fought against. He now comes and vows to fight for David and to give him the throne. David accepts the offer upon certain conditions. We don't have time to look at those tonight. And David sends him away in peace. There's agreement made. Abner will now fight for David. He's now on David's side. However, David's commander is a man called Joab. He's furious when he hears that this peace deal has been made between Abner and David. There's such an awful history between Joab and Abner. Such ill feeling, such bitterness that has went on over years. Abner, this peace deal has been made and Joab is furious. You see, some years earlier, and it must be said, Abner did it in self-defense. But Abner slew Joab's brother in a battle. He warned him and he warned him again not to pursue any longer. And when he only could defend his own life, he slew Joab's brother. Joab is furious. He's furious that this peace deal has been made. That Abner, who had so long fought against David and fought for Saul's camp against David's camp, is now on David's side, and Joab, David's commander, is furious. He schemes a plan. Verse 27 tells us, or verse 26, he sends messengers out. He says, go and tell Abner to come back. The thought is, go and tell him to come back as if David wants to see him. Messengers are sent out, but the Bible tells us David knows nothing of it. He knows nothing of this plan. Joab's bringing him back because Joab's plan is to kill Abner. That's the plan. And I want to speak tonight, looking at the death of Abner, at a terrible death. A terrible death. We're going to look at it. That's the setting I've given you. I brought you right to the point where Abner's making his way back to Hebron. He's on his way back thinking David wants to see him. David knows nothing about it. Joab is luring him back. Joab is luring him now to his death. And the first thing I want to show you is this. It was a terrible death. It was a terrible death for many reasons. One of them is this. Refuge was near and Abner knew it. Look at verse number 27 of 2 Samuel 3. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. Now Abner was fully aware. He was fully aware that Hebron was a city of refuge. It was one of six cities appointed by God to be cities of refuge. Joshua 20 gives us the list. Let me just give you them. Kadesh, Hebron, Shechem, Bezer, Ramoth, and Golan. Hebron, the very name, it means fellowship. Now in these cities, a man was safe. If a man had killed a man without enmity or lying in wait, that man could enter into one of these cities and be safe under the protection that that city afforded. Once a man stepped inside the perimeter wall, he couldn't be slain. Now look at verse 27. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, he's right at the city. He's right at the gate of refuge. Now these cities were, they weren't only open to the children of Israel. They were open to the stranger. They were placed on hills. They were easily seen. A good road lay to each of them. There was no problem getting to them. And to one of these cities, Abner returns, but always remember the setting. He's lured to it. David knows nothing of this. He's lured back to the city by Joab himself. But dear sinner, in this meeting, this is what I want to show you. Look what the Holy Ghost records for us. Verse 27, and when Abner was returned to Hebron, he has come to the place of refuge. He's come to the place. He's in the gate. He's almost there, but in the gate he's slain. Now, dear man, woman, sinner in this meeting, understand this. In the gate is not in the city. He's but a step from refuge. Joab knows that he must get Abner and must get him before he gets into that city. And therefore he gets him here at the very gate of it. And verse 27 tells us that in the gate, Joab takes him aside And there he slays him. There he kills him in the very gate. Now Joab, if ever there was a lover of self, it was Joab. Self-promoting, ambitious, revengeful, proud, but his great besetting sin was his overvaulting ambition. Let me tell you, dear people, Joab was a good soldier, undoubtedly, but Joab was not a good man. It was Joab that slew Uriah. It was Joab that slew Absalom against the orders of King David. With Joab, it mattered not what anybody thought of King David or anybody else. With Joab, it only mattered what people thought of Joab. And this terrible factor of Abner's death is that he's slain right at the gates of Hebron by Joab. You see, Abner knew all about Hebron. He knew that Hebron was appointed by God to be a city of refuge. He takes a step inside. Joab can't touch him. But the Bible tells us he tarries at the gate. He pauses. He's taken aside by Joab here in the gate. It was a terrible death, for refuge was near. Now, dear unsaved friend in this meeting, I want you to understand something. What's the truth revealed here? There may be some in this meeting, and you're near the kingdom. You may be but a step from the kingdom. You've been troubled as some time about your soul. And like Abner, it could be said of you, you're right in the gate. But man, woman, understand this. Near the kingdom of heaven is not in the kingdom of heaven. Abner's right at the gate of refuge. All he has to take is one step. He's safe. He's in. Joab can no longer touch him. Abner knows it, and Joab knows it. And therefore, Joab's waiting on him here at the gate. He has to get him before he gets in that gate. Now, dear people, understand this. Abner's returned to Hebron. Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. It was all done deceitfully. It was cold. It was callous. Joab has him back here. Look at verse 27 again. Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. There was no malice in his voice. His intention was, his motive was well hidden. It was done so well that Abner paused and Abner tarried. And he tarried so long until the blood flowed from below the fifth rib and he no longer could take the step. Now the truth is so clear. Some here may be near the kingdom. Some in this meeting tonight over recent months or years or days or weeks, whatever, may have sensed the Lord dealing with their soul, troubling them about their sin. You've maybe been nearer to being saved than you've ever been in your life. Well, man, woman, the warning of this portion is this. You need to take that final step. Because though you're near, you're not in. Though you're near the Lord, you're not in Him. You're not yet saved. And therefore, sinner, in this meeting, you've got to take the final step. Listen to me right now. The devil doesn't care less how long you think about getting saved, provided you don't get saved. Because he just has to keep you thinking about it and putting it off and putting it off to a further date until you're taken. And then you can't take the step. Then it's too late for you. You see, here's Abner. He's lured to this. He's in the very gate. He's on his way to the city of refuge. He's made it to there. Let me tell you, dear people, the devil's aim for you, let's just get to it. The devil's aim for every unsaved soul in this meeting is the same as Joab's was for Abner. Stop Abner at all costs getting into that city. And the devil's aim for you, sinner, is this. stop that sinner at all costs getting to Christ. He doesn't care what he has to do it. A little suggestion. A little suggestion here, a little thought there, a prompting here, a thought there, something else that'll put you off. Sure, think about it a wee bit longer. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. You see, the subject of a sinner coming to Christ is a subject that the Bible teaches us much on. Luke chapter 9, verse 41 and 42. Here's a young man. He's a young man, and many times in his life, the devil has sought to tear him and sought to destroy him. But there's a day in his life, his father brings him to the Savior. And as he comes toward the Savior, the devil immediately reacts. Now look at verse 41. And Jesus answering said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither." There's the command from the Savior for the boy to come. And as he was coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. Do you see that? The minute the command is made by our Lord to come, it prompts an immediate response. As he was coming, man, woman, if you ever get a stage in your life where trouble is in your soul, I am telling you now on the authority of that book, all hell will resist you as you seek to get to Christ. All hell will put every thought in your mind as to why you shouldn't come. The Bible teaches it so clearly. When a sinner begins to be troubled about their soul and coming to Christ, and the command goes out from the Lord to come to him, that is when the devil will immediately step in. Now, he'd not do what he did there and literally tear the man, but the thoughts will come, putting you off. Sure, hold back just a little longer. Sure, you need to think about this. You know, don't take it too seriously. All these thoughts, what are you going to tell such and such? What are they going to think about you? What's your workmates going to think? Young person, understand that the devil, all the thoughts that come into your mind to stop you coming to Christ are from the devil. Let's nail it. That's where they're from. Unsaved in this meeting, every thought in your mind in a gospel meeting, I don't care what the thought is, that stops you coming to faith in Jesus Christ immediately, that thought is from Lucifer. That's where it came from. I care not what the thought is. Because the Bible makes it clear, when that call goes out, it prompts an immediate response from the devil to stop the sinner. You see, sinner, let me emphasize this to you again. Whatever age you are in the meeting, I don't know, young or old, without Christ, but to this time, right now, tonight, in your life, the devil has had you. His intention is to damn you. That's what he wants. He will do anything and use anybody to do it. And you need to recognize that. You need to begin to discern this and think about this, that every thought in your mind right now that would stop you coming to faith in Jesus Christ to have your soul saved is from the devil, because the devil's aim and the devil's desire for you is this: take you down the pit. You see, the thought of a sinner ever being in heaven infuriates the powers of darkness. They hate that thought with a perfect hatred, because they hate the God of heaven with a perfect hatred. They hate the Christ of God with a perfect hatred. They hate the Holy Ghost with a perfect hatred. And the devil knows that the Bible says loud and clear, his end is the lake of fire. There's no way back for him. And he wants as many people like you in it as he can get. You see, the gospel meeting, dear people, is a battle for souls. It's a battle for souls. And again, maybe I speak to one here tonight, and you've been in turmoil maybe a some while. Oh, dear brother, dear friend, listen to me. You need to take the step. You need to move in this. Here's Abner. It's the warning. He's right at the gate. He's but a step from it. A step from safety. And yet, he's not in, and he never gets in. He never makes it. He never makes it in. It's a tragic, terrible death. We say, oh, Abner, you knew where. You knew where you were. But you were deceived. You tarried. You tarried at the gate. Like Lot's wife, you look back. You look back. You didn't step in. There was Hebron before thee. All you had to do was take the step. And sinner, listen to me tonight. Here you are in a gospel meeting. You'll hear again how you can be saved. You've heard for years the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. You've heard for years that God will pardon you. God will save you in an instant of time. And yet you've never taken the step. Understand this. You're exactly like Abner. You know all about refuge. You know what it is. But you're tarrying. You're tarrying. You're holding back. And the story of Abner is the warning. You're going to tarry too long. Abner tarried when he should have taken the step. And Abner tarried until he couldn't take the step. Because Joab slew him. Verse 27 of 2 Samuel 23 just says this. And Joab smote him there under the fifth rib that he died. It just means exactly what he says, what it says. He died. At Hebron, but not in it. At Hebron, his soul left the body. At Hebron, his soul departs. A terrible death. So near, but didn't make it. There's times that thought comes into my head. I was praying about it this week. Thinking of many friends that I have, people I know, still out of Christ. The thought came to me. Will they all make it? Will they all make it? Will I see them in the glory? Will I meet them in heaven? Man, woman, you need to start considering this subject of pressing into the kingdom, striving to enter in, because you better believe it, man, woman, young person, this meeting, the devil has one desire, your damnation. That's his aim. Take you down to the pit. Damn you. Eternally ruin you. It's a tragic death. It led to a tearful funeral. Look at verse 31. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier. That's the coffin. Just read it like that. And King David himself followed the coffin. The body's been prepared for burial. The coffin has been brought for Abner. He's laid in it. The family undoubtedly gather. Friends, acquaintance, fellow soldiers. You see him in the mind's eye. This great soldier has been slain. And they're gathered for the procession. And they're gathered for the funeral. And the coffin leaves. And it makes its way to the burying ground. And in the air of Hebron, all you hear is the noise of a sob and the noise of the footsteps as this procession makes its way through the city. And the Bible tells us that David himself followed the coffin. Followed the coffin. He follows it down through the streets. Every home that it passes, it reminds them all in Adam all died. Man, woman, in this meeting, you understand this. Someday, it's your procession. Someday we fall in behind you. Someday we walk with you to your burying place. Here we are tonight in Hebron. Abner's slain, but a step from safety. And verse 32 tells us they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. It's a scene of great sorrow. But listen to me, sinner friend, in this meeting, all the tears aren't bringing Abner back. All the tears aren't bringing him back. And therefore, unsaved friend, in this meeting, you need to see what the Lord's saying to you tonight. Here we are before him. There's been a tragic death, a tearful procession, making its way through the streets of Hebron. The king lifts up his voice and he weeps, and all the people weep. The air of Hebron's filled with a sob, it's filled with tears, and it's not bringing them back. Abner's now in God's eternity. Now, unsaved friend, you understand something here. We are all journeying to eternity. We're dealing here with reality. We're dealing here with the facts of life. And the facts of life are this. Death has come. My death and your death is coming. And the message of Abner is this. Man, woman, get ready to die. Get ready for it. You can live in denial of death all you like. It doesn't change the fact it's going to happen. Abner here is at the gate of refuge. He's so close to safety. And yet he never makes it in. It's a tearful funeral. I think of another day in the life of David. I think of another day in the life of David when he wept and he cried at the death of Absalom. And he says, Absalom, Absalom, I would have died for thee. Why? Because David knew that David's death would have taken him to glory, but Absalom's took him to hell. Young person, this meeting, without Christ. There's parents here, and they'd die for you. Because their death would take them to the glory. But they know at this point in your life you don't have Christ, and you're not ready. And I urge you, in the light of this portion, to begin to think about your death. In your eternity, here we have before us a terrible death, a tearful funeral. But let me show you something else. There's a tragic lamentation. A tragic lamentation. Look with me at verse number 33. And the king lamented over Abner. Here they are at the graveside. And here's David giving the oration at the grave. Died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. I want you to note that phrase. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. What's David saying? Abner, why did you not take the step? Why did you just not step into the city, Abner? Why did you not step into safety? Man, woman, without Christ in this meeting, you wonder why people pray for you. Because we know the eternity that awaits us all. It's everlasting. It's eternal. And what's more, the confines of it, as I said the other week, are two. heaven with Christ or hell without him. And you wonder why we pray for you? It's when the glory with Christ or it's in hell with the devil. It's one or the other. It's black and white. Straightforward. Sinner in this meeting, you need to begin to consider it. There's this lamentation. Thy hands were not bound. Thy feet put into fetters. David saying at the grave, Abner, why did you not take the step? Deceived right at the gate. And David's left to lament that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel. But you know what, folks? Listen to me. The reality of it's this. Abner was careless. Abner, the only reason Abner tarried at that gate was Abner did not believe he was going to die. He didn't believe he was going to die at that moment. And the lesson there, sinners, this. You and I have absolutely no idea at what moment any of us are going to die. No idea. And therefore, as I have said earlier in this message, and I've said many times before, it's time to get ready to die. Because die you're going to. God has set the appointment. You're not passing it. You're not dying before it comes. But you're not living after it. Nobody bypasses the bounds which God Almighty sets. For this preacher, if my bounds come before the end of this sermon, someone else will close the meeting. Understand that. But sinner, if your bounds come before the end of this meeting, you have died in church. And from church you have perished. And from an evening service singing gospel hymns, you have departed to the caverns of the lost. Because no one exceeds the bounds that God Almighty sets. The only reason Abner tarried at that gate was Abner did not believe Joab was going to slay him right there. See, look at the wording. Look at the wording. Abner was returned to Hebron. Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. Oh, it was so well concealed. But sinner, it's time to discern that right up until this point in your life, the devil's intention for you has been concealed. Put it off. Wait a little longer. Sure, you can get saved later in life. You might not have later life. It's all the deceit. It's all the deception of the devil. And the deception of the devil only ever leads to a tragic death and a tearful procession. Listen to me, sinner. Understand this. We are journeying together to eternity. To eternity. And Abner at the gates of Hebron, the gates of that city, he's slain until he can't take the step. Maybe you say, preacher, I don't want to die out of Christ. I don't want to die in my sins. Well, then let me tell you of another day. Let me tell you of another city. The city was Jerusalem. Let me tell you of another procession. It was our Lord on his way to die. And again, sobs filled the air. And there's the man of sorrows. And he's making his way to Calvary's cross. Oh man, woman, here's your hope. Here's the remedy for your sin. Christ on his way to the cross. There has never been a procession like it. There has never been a death like it, because Christ's death populates heaven. Let me tell you what Proverbs 8 said. Speaking of Christ in eternity past, his delights were always with the sons of men. You know what that means, sinner? It means this. Christ, before there was ever a world put in place, when there was only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, Christ longed to come from heaven to earth to rescue sinners. He longed to go to Gethsemane. He longed to go to Calvary. The Bible tells us of that procession, and when they were come to the place called Calvary. Sinner, why was he there? He was there to die. He was there to put away sin. He was there to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And I want you to understand, sinner friend, if you're ever going to be in the glory, if you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to have your sins forgiven, you need desperately Jesus Christ. You need to come to him. Right now in this meeting, you need to repent. You need to believe the gospel. You need to take the step. You need to do it. If I could do it for you, I would do it for you. Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly, any believer would do it for you. Because we know what the book of God says about the hell of eternity. Anybody would do it for you if we could, but we can't. Sinner, your situation demands dealings between you and God. You've wronged him. You've sinned against him. And yet this final procession that we're looking at through the streets of Jerusalem out to Calvary's brow, that procession was for sinners. As Christ went to die, as he went to put away sin, as he went to die, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And sinner, listen to me, upon that cross of Calvary, our Lord, listen, dealt with sin, satisfied divine justice, propitiated divine wrath for all who trust him. But sinner, if you never get to Christ, listen to me. If you never get to Christ, to answer my question that I had in my quiet time the other day, friend, you're not making it. We're not meeting in the glory. We're not meeting. Because only those that get to Christ get to heaven. There's not many ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven. Christ's that way. His righteousness will cover your guilt, man, woman. His blood will wash away all your sins. Oh, understand this, dear unsaved friend, in this meeting. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for coming. But we have a message for you. Jesus saves. His righteousness will cover you. His blood will wash you. I'm telling you now, right now in this meeting, you can find peace with God now. You don't even have to wait to the end of the meeting. You lift your heart before God right now in this meeting. Take the words of the penitent, God, be merciful to me, and he'll save you. He'll save you. Because I'm telling you, like Abner, you and I will die. Like Abner, you and I will have a funeral.
like Abner, you and I are going in to God's eternity. But the question is this: where are you going in God's eternity? The question isn't, are you going into it? You and I's both going into eternity. The question is this: where are you spending it? I repeat this. If I could get you to Christ, I'd get you to him. But the dealings are between you and God. You need to come to him. It's your sin just as it was my sin. And your sin is your fault just as my sin is my fault. And for your sin, you're to blame. And for my sin, I was to blame. And I'm to blame. But if you're ever to be forgiven for your sin, it's you that needs to get to Christ. Now you maybe say, preacher, I don't want Christ. That's horrific. Don't go there. Because the minute you say that, man, woman, you're saying, I don't want heaven. I don't want forgiveness. I don't want God. Man, woman, you need to say right now, I need Christ. I need him desperately. I've sinned against the Almighty. I'm but a breath from death. I'm but a breath from eternity. Oh, I need Christ. Well, sinner, if you say that, Christ says, come. Come now. Because as I told you, that procession through Jerusalem to Calvary's cross, that procession was for sinners. Those 33 years on earth, listen to me, were for sinners. That death on Calvary's cross was for sinners. That blood that was shed was for sinners. The resurrection was for sinners. What do I mean? When God rose Christ from the dead, it was the testimony to all the world. I accept the sacrifice of my Son as a once and for all payment for sin. All who come to him will be saved. All who don't will be damned. Sinner friend, let me put it to you another way. I don't care how long you've sinned. It's not my business what age you are or how long this has been going on. I'm telling you, should you be 5 years old or 95 years old, the blood of Christ will wash you in a moment of time. It'll cleanse you immediately. You'll be pardoned, forgiven, saved, safe and secure. Listen, you have God's word for it. You have Christ's work to rest on. It'll never fail. There has never been a sinner that came to Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ didn't save and forgive them all their sins. Never. And you're not going to be the exception. And therefore the Lord says to you tonight, unsaved friend in this meeting, come to Christ. come to Christ. The one who went to the cross for sinners like you and I, he says, come. Because the message of Abner is this: there's one who seeks to stop you coming. I would say without a doubt in my heart, that right in these moments in this meeting, the devil has been giving you every reason under the sun why you don't come. But you remember. Oh man, remember. Woman, remember. Dear friend, remember what the book teaches. Every thought in your mind tonight in this meeting as to why you shouldn't come to Christ immediately came from Satan. I tell you, he's no friend to you. He wants to damn you. He wants to damn you. The question is this: are you going to allow it to happen? Christ says, come. Let's get it black and white. Christ says, come now. The devil says, don't. Put it off. Christ says, you're not guaranteed another day. The devil says, you have plenty of time. Sinner friend, listen to me. God so loved sinners like you and sinners like this preacher that he sent his Son into this world to save sinners like you and this preacher from our sins. But you must come to him. Christ says, come. Satan says, don't. I tell you, the battle goes for the soul. That's exactly what was happening in Luke 9. Because the devil knew the minute that man took a step toward Christ, if he ever got to Christ, the devil had lost him forever. That's why the battle rages in the heart. Because the devil knows that the minute a sinner comes to the Savior, immediately their sins are all forgiven. Dear believer, the night the Lord saved you, you understand that. In that moment, God forgave you all your sins. He took you into his eternal love. Heaven rejoiced. I don't care whether you came to him in a church meeting or in someone's home or wherever it was. The night you came to him, the Bible tells us, heaven rejoiced. Heaven rejoiced. Our Lord rejoiced in the presence of the holy angels. But I tell you, unsaved friend, you walk out of this meeting without Christ, hell rejoices. Because he knows, the devil knows, just a little longer. And you can't take the step. You see, death for the sinner. In fact, let's go to the birth. When a man or woman is born into this world, there's hope for that man or that woman to be saved someday. Prayer will be offered. You take people born into this area, prayer will be offered for them, that they will be saved, that they'll come to Christ. There's that great desire among the people of God, that great hope for them. But listen to me. Yeah, that's what birth brings. Death removes that hope in a stroke. I tell you, man, death's final. death's final. There's no light thing about death. There's nothing light about what takes a sinner from life into eternity. Dear people, you and I are going to die. You and I are going to have a funeral. You and I are going into God's everlasting eternity, the confines of which are two: heaven with Christ, hell without him. Sinner, come to Christ tonight. And I mean right now, come to Christ. If you have any concern for your soul, come to Christ. If you have no concern for it, may God give you concern for it. Strive to enter in. Seek him with all your heart. Call upon him. Because the holy book of God tells us, whosoever, and there's any sinner in this meeting tonight, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Saved from sin's consequences. Saved from the wrath of God for that sin. Saved from an eternity without Christ. Saved forevermore. But you need to come. Let us now unite our hearts in prayer. And while everybody is, all the Lord's people are praying, and we're in these closing moments of this meeting, they are unsaved. Where are you going? What part of the confines of God's eternity are you heading for? It's time to come to Christ. It's time to seek the Lord. You need to come to him tonight. As I have said already in this meeting, you could do nothing better right now than lift your heart to God and pray for mercy. Your sins, your sin, your sins, your fault, your sin, you're to blame for it. There's dealings needed between you and God. But sinner, Christ has died. There's blood to wash you. Oh, precious blood. A righteousness to cover you. Take you into those everlasting arms and never let you go. Indissoluble union with Jesus Christ. Take the step. Take it tonight. I'm going to be going to the door soon. You speak to me there. You say, I want to talk to you. Or even, there's a little corridor down my right-hand side here through those double doors. Walk straight to the bottom of it. The minister's room's in front of you. Go in there. I'll see you once I shake hands with the people at the door. But sinner, come to Christ. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we pray, Lord, that you'll take thy word, take all that's been of thee, bless it to every heart. Let all that's been of the preacher, let it just fall to the ground, for it's worthless. But, O God, save in this meeting. Hear prayer. Answer prayer. Glorify your Son. Let thy name be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.